The Buffalo Bills draft for 2022 is complete. We break it down with the best pick, our favorite pick, and the pick that makes you think more about the future. Plus, what Brandon Bean still has to do to get this roster set. All that's coming up on this week's edition of the Buffalo Plus Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcast presented by Connors and Ferris. The NFL draft is over. I'm joined by Mike Catalana, Dan Fates. I am Jenna Kostra. Before we jump into our analysis, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. The Bills making 8 total picks, 4 on defense, 3 on offense, as well as 1 punt god. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on all of this. We'll start with you, Mike. Who do you think was the best pick that the Bills made over this draft weekend?
You know, they sort of took me on a bit of a roller coaster here. I have faith in Brandon Bean as a general manager, mostly because, you know, the incompetence we saw for years before him and what he's done. It's not perfect. You know, sometimes I think fans and even some media people right away, if Brandon Bean does it, they're on board. And I get it. He's earned a lot of that. But there are times you're like, okay, what are they thinking here? But I like the fact that they addressed what I think is a glaring need in the first round. I like it. Now, again, we have to see how the number one pick does. But, you know, it's a rarity with this team and the place they're in to go pick a guy that we believe right away is going to be a starter. And I think that's the case there. So I like that pick. But I really like the pick of Khalil Shakir, the wide receiver. I just think that's a fit. I liked him when we looked at it. Dan and I both talked about Sky Moore. They would have had to try to get him earlier. But I like this fit for what they need for the offense. So I understand the number one pick, but I really like that pick for them.
Dang it, Mike. You took mine. And it probably wasn't going to be.
And you took mine.
Yeah, I don't think it was any surprise. I've been team wide receiver this draft the entire time. I'm going to be honest. This draft has melted together into one piece over the last few days. We are all running on fumes. I just want that to be on the record.
You hear my voice?
I just want that to be put out there. I saw some comments after Mike and I's day 2 recap, and people were like, how are you not in Vegas still? Like, how did you get home? And the best response I saw from somebody said, a plane was the best answer. It was like, how did you get home so quick? And somebody was just like, on a plane. Yeah. So bear with us through this podcast. We are running on fumes, but I'm with you, Mike. The best pick to me was Khalil Shakir. I think he's just a very polished wide receiver. It just feels like a very McDermott Bean selection. Jen, I think you talked about it yesterday on air that he's a coach's dream.
His
profile pick. I just think it makes perfect sense. Has the size to kind of do both. I think he fits more in the slot, which I think is a need that they need to address. But he's not so thin like some of the other wide receivers where I think he can play on the outside. McDermott kind of said he's just over 6 foot, but then he's almost 200 pounds. So he is kind of a thicker guy. So I liked that. I think that was a pick that they needed to address. I've been saying it on these podcasts and everybody's probably like, shut up, Dan. We get it. You want a wide receiver, but I was just happy that they got one. A lot of people had him as like the 71st overall prospect. So to get him for the value that they got him, and I will admit, if you're following my Twitter feed, I was so bad on the rounds that they took players. I thought they were in second round and third round. I was all over the place, but I liked where they got him, Jenna.
Yeah, I think the general consensus is those guys because of what they can add to the roster. Like Khalil Shakir, I think when you see him and the fact that he was still on the board, it made sense. And I think the Bills, we talked early on about how, you know, first of all, the Breece Hall thing. Can we address that? I know you talked a little bit about it, but I think that could have been a possibility, but I'm so happy it was not what the Bills did in terms of the direction, because I picked them taking Trent McDuffie, who obviously went a couple of players before. But I think when you look at this roster and what the team needed, I think corner just made sense. And I think the Bills got a luxury pick in this draft. I think it's the punter, the punt god that we'll talk about. But I just think I was glad to see that they took the time to be like, all right, you know, this is something that this Bills roster we've talked about for years. It need being a mm-hmm. need, and they addressed it. So we'll see how he does, obviously early on. But in terms of,
I think that's a great point. And when Bean talked yesterday on Saturday, oh my gosh, these days. We are recording this podcast on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. It is a Sunday morning. When I was up there in Buffalo on Saturday at night. After the draft recapped. Oh my gosh. Bean had talked about it too. I thought Bean did a really good job of staying tight-lipped like he usually does in the pre-draft process. He said, you know, I feel uncomfortable at a lot of positions. And people were like, what about corner? And he was like, well, we have guys. Like, we feel comfortable. We are trying to address a veteran need. And then when he talked yesterday, he said that he really wanted to leave the first or second round with a corner. And he said that once he got Kaiir on Thursday, he said he kind of got to relax and he slept a little bit better, knowing that like the rest of the board can just fall to him. So I think that was telling where he said, and I think it was a lot of fans, a lot of media members were like, you need a corner. You need a corner. You need a corner. And he's like, yeah, we'll see. I think he really was going, I do need a corner. I absolutely need a corner. And to make the move, and like we talked about it, Mike, to be aggressive, to get your guy, Kaiir Elam, in the first round, I liked the move. And I think that set the rest of the draft.
You know what this reminds me of? It's like when someone needs to get a car and everyone else is saying it. And you're like, no, I know.
Are you ready to make an announcement here?
No, not yet.
With the first pick in the car draft.
Anything but mine. No.
All right, but Janet, I want to know what I agree with you in that sense. When we look back at it, take a step back and say to yourself, well, of course they picked a corner.
Yeah.
They need a corner. And Dan, him saying, I wanted to come out in the first two rounds. Yeah, it's a glaring need on this team. I mean, I know there's a little bit of smokescreen that goes on. That doesn't mean they would have not taken the running back in the first round if they felt like there was nobody there. Because obviously, they were down to the point that they needed to make a move. And it cost them a fourth round pick to move up a couple of spots because – not specifically they had to get a corner. I think they were in that spot like, okay, are we going to sit here and wait while we've seen everybody else make moves and not get it? They need a corner. And the hope is that, you know, Kaiir Elam can be that guy. He certainly fits the profile physically. He seems like that kind of guy. He's got the pedigree, all those things. I like that as the pick. Pick anything else.
Yeah.
And you would be saying, when are you getting the corner? So maybe it would have been in the second round or the third round. But they liked the guy in the beginning, and I liked the pick. So in that sense, it made sense. And then, but Dan, to Dan's point, they went and got a running back in the second round. So let's not kid ourselves. They were looking for that, and they were probably looking for it a year ago, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they like you said, well, it's like this thought that they're satisfied. Like none of the tea leaves tell you that. 2019, they draft Singletary. 2020, they draft Zach Moss. Last year, they were linked to ETN. And then this year, they signed JD McKissick, and then they didn't. So like, don't sit here and kid yourself like they don't need a running back. Well, they think they do because they have been adding them constantly. So that's a thing. And again, the second round was a little odd with the two trade backs. That was the one thing that we kind of were like, what's going on? I think that James Cook brings an element out of the pass, out of the backfield that can give them a playmaker, a pass catcher. He even talked about it at his press conferences, like, what does he bring to the team? And he's like, I'm a guy that can flex out to the outside and give you a deep threat. And it's like, when do you ever hear a running back say like, I'm going to give you a deep threat in the passing game, but that's what he can bring. So I am happy in that sense, but don't kid yourself. The Bills were interested in Breece Hall, and the fact that it didn't work out, we will never know because the Jets traded up early in the second round to get him.
Yeah.
But they were interested.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. Like you said, what they've been doing these last couple of years and how it sets up everything. The draft is just so, I mean, it all comes down to that board. We know how much Brandon Bean is dictated by that. And I know that's such a cliche, but it's true. Mike, what pick do you think makes you think more about the future?
You know, I got to say, day two, it was the trading down that Dan just mentioned, and it made me look at it and go, okay, like what's the plan here to go down? And now you see when they get Cook, you're saying to yourself, well, they like that skill set. Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe they could have taken him even earlier, but they added some picks and you saw what he did. He grabbed those six and then eventually used them to jump back into the fifth. And that's where they got Shakir. So that was a good move. But when I look at the pick of Bernard, the linebacker, I think to myself, okay, he seemed to be a little high based on other people's evaluations, but I'm looking at him. I look at every linebacker like all of you do and fans do is like they have two very different linebackers that they've invested in Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. And this young guy seems more like a Matt Milano type, didn't he? Danny said like that's who he sort of batters his game
all about
after.
Matt Milano.
I love Matt Milano.
Right. And so I think to myself, wow, is he there right now? He's a third linebacker, fourth linebacker, wherever he is, special teams. I mean, that's but is that a plan for down the road? Is that a plan to eventually, if you need to move on from Matt Milano in 2 years, is that the plan? Because he's not a replacement for Tremaine Edmonds, at least physically he's not, and what they ask a linebacker to do. So I'm thinking to myself, is that more what they're looking at the moment as a potential guy? Because we're talking about the second round, second and third round here for these picks. These are guys that, you know, you have high hopes for immediately contending for starting jobs and starters down the line. I'm thinking in those positions. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that makes me go, okay, obviously we want to see how the guy plays, but I'm looking at him saying, I see the fit for basically every other guy they picked. I'm not sure I see the fit immediately or down the line there.
I think, I mean, Bean talked that he could play inside or outside just like he did at Baylor. And I just wonder if they want to go to more of this hybrid style linebacker, this run chase cover guy instead of a Luke Kuechly like McDermott has had in the past and Tremaine Edmonds, these big physical guys. Do they want to be more stout, speedy cover guys, you know, like stout on the D line to kind of clog up holes to allow the linebacker, quicker linebackers that are a little bit smaller to cut in and blow up runs and kind of fill holes that way. And also be able to cover tight ends or a slot wide receiver. That's my only thought that what they're thinking. For me, the pick that says the future is the punt god, Matt Ariza. And the reason I say that is because I talked to a D1 special teams consultant who played Division I, and I asked him about him. And we had talked about this guy before because the Bills fans seemed really interested of, you know, look, Matt Hawk didn't have a good year last year. He'll be the first one to tell you that. Bean has said that on record multiple times how much he has struggled this year. But I was asking him about it, and he said that he didn't think his game would translate to the NFL in the sense of hang time. And that's something that obviously NFL punters are really, really stress on. Look, Ariza crushed the ball, but there were a lot of line drives and you have to think about punt coverage. So when I asked the special teams D1 consultant, he said, this is the text he sent back to me. He'll either be great or below average. Don't think there's anything in between. Needs to control his leg to best fit NFL athleticism. You can't outkick coverage at this level. The biggest question mark will be, can he hold? I think all of those are very good points and that this is a project. And there may be a learning curve early on because you're not picking him and then keeping him on your roster or anything like that and then making a switch in the middle of the season. You would never want to switch your holder specifically in the middle of a season. So he's either going to win the job in training camp and then they're going to have to deal with the growing pains or he's not going to be there. And so that's the biggest thing where I'm going, maybe they'll deal with some little bit of, you know, learning curve, rookie mistakes early on. But I think he's an interesting prospect because the Bills struggled in the punting game. And it's also like, how often are they really going to punt? Like, I don't know.
But you're talking about maybe questioning the pick in terms of saying, is he a fit? Would he make it? We're talking about a sixth round pick. If he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. And they'll find another punter.
But if he is the guy.
Yeah.
And you can deal with some learning curves.
You don't want to deal with learning curves there.
You don't want to deal with bad punts either by Matt Hawk.
I'm more concerned with the holding part of it, only because we saw Corey Bjorkes, who big leg, was the guy in New England. Yeah, guy in New England that they tried to hide, and then the Bills took him, and he was a disaster holding the ball, made some mistakes, and that just happens to be one of the things he has to do. I would trust that a guy who can kick as well as Ariza can adjust his game. I mean, come on. I don't mean to sound simplistic because it is a specialist, but you got one job and you're going into the NFL. And my thinking would be you already have the leg. Like any other position, you have to adjust to the game. He did the right thing by kicking it as far as he can in San Diego State, which got him attention, which eventually got him drafted. Now, like Josh Allen's arm.
That was my comparison.
You got to adjust.
That's what I'm saying is I think you could deal with some of the short-term rookie struggles, NFL struggles, and say like, hey, this guy could be our punter for 5 to 6 years if he figures it out.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go also with Bernard, Mike, because that was the pick that – you're right. Like, we saw, obviously, Kaiir Elam and then James Cook, and it's like, okay, those are addressing positions of need. And then with that pick – going with a linebacker, I was like, that is interesting. And then hearing him talk, and originally I was like, is this someone, you know, looking down the line for a replacement for Tremaine Edmonds? And then when we got to talk to him, which such a McDermott guy, like just such a McDermott type of player. He talks so much about Matt Milano and modeling his game after him and like being someone he looks up to, that I was like, oh, that is an interesting thing to look at because of how much he talked about his game wanting to be like Milano's. I just think that's something that screams future because where they're at right now, they feel set with their linebackers, at least on the outside looking in. And that's something that, you know, roster replenishment that we talk about, that's so important, you know, draft, develop, sign. Milano already got his big deal. You know, does that mean that they pay him again down the line, or does that mean they bring Bernard along? Those are things that will play out, but that is one thing that was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a pick that I don't expect to see on the field. Whereas other guys, you're like, okay, right away.
Yeah.
You expect them to be out there.
Well, you mentioned his deal, and it's the way they've structured these deals. You know, Milano is here for this year and next year, and then, you know, we all know how it is. Then things open up that you could move on. This is the way it works in the league. Sometimes people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. You know, it doesn't mean that he won't sign again and he'll be fine. I read something that Joe Buscaglia wrote in The Athletic talking about, you know, when the time comes, is he the guy to replace Milano? Because as we joke about it, but it is the truth. Milano's what? 4 years old. What is he? 3 years older than Tremaine, whatever the number is. Cause Tremaine is 14, you know, after 5 years in the league, but it is where you make those decisions this year. To me, it's fascinating to see what happens with Tremaine Edmonds and the decisions.
27.
And Tremaine is 23. Yeah. That's really something to say that.
That is crazy.
It is. So you're saying to yourself, you know, right. Cause we've talked about other guys, you know, getting to 30 and all those things. Here's something. And I tweeted it because I'm watching day two. And it's like you said, Dan and I talked about it, and God forbid you question anything that they do. But I looked back and I thought to myself, all right, rounds 2 and 3 with the Bills. Again, these are places where you're drafting, expecting starters. And the hope is, you know, starters, not superstars, but starters, you know, were built into starters over the period since McDermott and since Bean has been there. Harrison Phillips, Cody Ford, Devin Singletary, AJ Epenesa, Zach Moss, Boogie Basham, Spencer Brown. And the question I asked was, it'll be interesting to see how many of these guys get another contract.
Yeah.
Harrison Phillips was a good, solid draft pick. A good player, had some injuries, fought back. I thought he played pretty well for them. But again, they chose not to sign him, let him walk. He's in Minnesota. Good for him. They ended up spending money on Settle. They have spent money on other interior defensive linemen.
Yep.
And so they did that. Cody Ford has not been a good draft pick. He cannot find a place in the line that was desperate for him between injuries and moving around in position. He's in the final year of his deal. Devin Singletary's been a really good player, but they've tried to draft over him twice now. We can say what we want. They just used a second-round pick on a running back. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean Singletary can't stay here longer, but they've done that. A.J. Epenesa struggled to be on the field. He just has. And they drafted again twice with defensive ends.
Yeah.
Zach Moss drafted over him again. Boogie Basham, tough time staying on the active roster. Again, as a rookie, but they drafted him in the second round. Spencer Brown, right now, a starter. So those are places. I'm not saying they're all misses. These are guys that can play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking at that, going, that's the spot. First picks, really good.
Yeah.
Second and third round, there's reason to question. And they keep trying to find, Dan, they keep trying to find the defensive linemen and running backs. And they keep investing in those positions. So maybe they got it right this time.
Yeah, and that's – it's kind of like keep shooting your shot till you get one. Like shoot or shoot, right? Like, so it's just this repetitive thing. But I'm with you, Mike. And I know a lot of people say – and it's the – everybody's draft looks great now besides maybe the Patriots. Besides them, everybody else had a good draft. But we are so far away from really seeing, you know, what these guys will do. So it is kind of tough to evaluate them now, but it is telling. And like I said, it's okay to question Bean. Like, we don't all have to sit here and say, like, this isn't a team controlled podcast YouTube channel. Like, we are going to question sometimes moves that are made, just like fans question 13 seconds. Like, it's okay to do these things. Like, and Mike and I were talking about it on one of the, I don't know, 4 a.m. on a plane. We were talking about it, just the fact of,
you shouldn't be talking on a plane at that time.
No. Well, yeah.
I was talking. Dan was asleep.
The fact that everybody loves what Bean says. They take what Bean says just to heart and all these things. Bean talks 5 times a year. Sean McDermott talks 3 times a week. And sometimes it's like fans are like, oh, like, well, what is Sean saying? Or it's almost like Sean can be a little cranky at times. And it's like, well, yeah, like Bean has to just talk once a month maybe. Like, and all of a sudden he comes in and he's on this pedestal still. And rightfully so, he's made some great picks. But that doesn't mean we can't question him by saying,
I think the way I would say it is that he's done a really solid overall job drafting for this Bills team. And you look at Josh Allen first and foremost and what they've set up at their franchise quarterback. But so the leash is long, but there's still... There's still questions that you can have, and I'm trying to figure out the thought process, especially in that second day when you're like, oh, they traded back. Oh, they traded back again. I think that's very reasonable to have.
And
that thought.
If I had a little more patience, and I didn't after day two, it might have been that red eye coming back from Vegas. Well, it was that, and Dan and I stayed for the Weezer show. on Thursday night in Vegas, which, of course, I've done that multiple times, Weezer show, red eye. But
the
I would
look
have
on
said,
Mike's face when Weezer was blasting.
It was music. So loud. Like, I'm not
Mike was
talking
the typical
about,
old man. Like, we so loud.
I'm not talking about old man saying this concert's loud. I'm talking about Dan. We took a long walk, and Weezer was still...
The entire strip could hear Weezer. It was a concert for the entire strip. From the Wind to the South Point, you were hearing Weezer.
Oh, that's terrible. So anyhow, but what I'm saying is if I take a step back and say, okay, he maneuvered things pretty well in terms of stepping back and getting the extra picks and then using them to move back up and get the wide receiver that I end up liking. So, Brandon, I'm apologizing to you for questioning the trade backs because – the plan was to jump back in and they needed the extra picks. Again, early he had to use that fourth. Like, this is the way the real world works.
Yep. Yeah.
And the draft doesn't always go exactly how you want. And he is pretty good at adjusting. And Jenna, you mentioned it. When you've picked Josh Allen, that leash, like you said, is long, is immensely long. It's a Matariza punt or a Josh Allen throw long, right?
Yeah.
Because you've done the most important thing. So now let's go to the next step. But these other moves are, again, where you've got to keep using resources to maybe make up for picks that haven't worked as well. Nobody hits on 100%. He's hit on his ones. He's hit on some fours and fives. Gabe Davis, Matt Milano, right? So he's done that. Free agent sign, all that kind of stuff. He's done a great job in that way. I'm just saying is in the moment, you kind of go, okay, what do they want to do? And to Dan's point, when Sean McDermott's coaching, you have 50 decisions a game to question.
And they're all criticized.
Yeah, I mean, because that's coaching in the NFL.
Correct.
Yeah. That's the difference between the two. It's like, and Brandon Beam will tell you, you know, once the roster's set and once the game day roster is set, basically he's got to sit back and watch.
Right.
And it's more on the players and the coach. So it's a different job.
It too is the fact of, and Bean and McDermott will both say this, and sometimes I feel like it gets lost in translation, is like, wow, what a great signing by Gabe Davis in the fourth round. Or great, what a great pick by Gabe Davis in the fourth round. Well, Chet Hall deserves credit.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott deserves credit. Yeah. Brian Daboll deserves credit. Like, if Gabe Davis gets signed by the Jets in the third round, he may be a bust. Or the fifth round, he may be a bust. There's 100 different little minutia things that go into that. So while we sit there and go like, what a great pick, it also is developing the player too, to where it needs to be.
Yeah. And Jenna, that can work the other way too. Right.
Yes.
I mean, Cody Ford might've been a good pick, but they never quite found the place. Now, some of that's always on the player, obviously,
of course,
but it could be on coaching and anything. So it's a mixed bag, but way more positive than negative. And until we see these guys actually on the field, we don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. All right, Dan, what is still left to do?
Safety, right? It's a safety, or I think even if you re-sign Jordan Poyer to a new deal, you still need to address a emergency plan C for a safety in case of emergency. So I just said emergency, I think twice. That was like Bean. I'll never say that he said it. I think a safety, and I also think a tight end, I think are two places that I think that they could still bring in. I know they signed some undrafted free agents, and obviously, you know, I think there still is a need, or it's tough, Mike, what veteran corners would want to show up to Buffalo, because you're going to be fighting for the third spot. Like if you're a veteran corner that, you know, wants one more trip around the sun, is this where you want to do it at? Those are the three positions I think can still be addressed. Brandon Bean said they're still going to look to add. They're still going to look, you know, to, as we get ready to go to St. John Fisher. So
yeah, Jenna, they're going to be ready to pounce on a few players. Dan's right. I think tight end is someplace they're going to definitely be looking, even though they have OJ Howard. Yep. I get it. But they're on a 1-year deal, and Dawson Knox is on that deal. So they would bring that in. They're always looking for, especially interior offensive line help. I mean, that's just natural for them. Safety's interesting because I think this draft, the way it played out, was good for Jordan Poyer staying
in
Orchard Park. I don't see any reason to move on unless they would have invested high in the pick. And they did not. So I think they feel like they can get it done. And that doesn't mean so it'd be a different type of player. Corner is interesting because there are teams that just don't have the corners. And to Dan's point, like you want to sign, you want that team to be a little
thin,
needy.
Yeah.
So that they have to pay you a little more. So those kind of guys. So I think that is the point where I believe they're going to have that need. And but when you start out with corner and the other running back, high picks, those guys are playing.
Yeah,
you know, they won't say start. I mean, nobody's going to say start. Did they say Trey was a starter from day one? I'm trying to remember.
No, but Bean has said that when you spend a guy like in the first round, you have the expectation,
right?
But they that when you draft him, but you never put the pressure on him like he's starting week one.
He's a starter week one. He better be a starter week one.
Expected to make an immediate impact.
Ooh. Is that just your appraisal?
Because I didn't want to say a day one starter.
No, but I think he's come on. You
he should be, but yeah.
glaring hole in that quarterback cornerback.
Addressed that need.
Yes. Oh, see, Jenna, yeah. I told you that. Address the need, they say. But that doesn't mean that they filled the need. But I'll tell you what, first round pick, I don't care if it's in the 20s, like, he better be ready to go.
They addressed in caps lock. Addressed.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Any last thoughts?
Yeah. Two biggest winners from the Bills draft weekend, players that were already on the roster. Do you guys have any winners from the roster?
Winners?
From the Bills roster.
Current roster that were on the roster before that, like, can leave this weekend being like, all right.
Well, I think Jordan Poyer.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd say Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that there was ever any question, but to sit there and go like, yeah, you know, I know I'm the number one guy and I don't even got to worry about anything.
And I'm in line for that signing. And yeah. He is.
Two biggest losers.
Zach Moss.
Yep. Jameson Crowder.
That's interesting.
I don't know, Jim.
That's interesting. Yeah. But we're talking about a fifth round pick here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a second rounder. Mm-hmm. It does seem to fit. And yes, to your point, Dan, I got to say, Matt Miller, you see him on Twitter, for Scout, referred to him as a poor man's Debo in terms of the way he can be used. And so there's a way to get him on the field and still play. I mean, Jameson Crowder, I've always liked his game. I always thought he hurt the Bills. Mm-hmm. I think any guy that can play for the Jets and have success. By the way, and let's also look at that. I like what the Jets did. I know they had high picks, but can be stupid sometimes. Yep. They made some good picks. Scary. And keep this in mind. When the Jets are better and even the Dolphins are better or the Patriots are better, does it make it a little harder on the Bills? Absolutely. They're still the best team in the division with the best quarterback, the best coach, the best all that. But they also help beat up the other teams in the division too, right?
Yeah.
So I think the Jets become a viable team and can be with a young quarterback, sort of looking like, you know, that early Bills team after Josh got in there for a year and they try to build it. So good for them. But
are they still going to trade for Deshaun Watson? Are they still? Is Tua feel welcomed anymore? Does he feel does he feel wanted?
Now he will when Tom Brady takes over as the owner / quarterback /
GM. That's amazing how the quarterback rumors just swirl around Tua.
Always around Tua.
Oh, Tua. All right. Thank you both for joining.
Coffee.
I'm about to do a coffee. I deleted some beverages last night as well. All right.
An IV of coffee.
Yeah. Thank you for joining, everyone. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. We'll have plenty more draft coverage in terms of what these players will do now on the field when we meet them in a couple weeks. And as always, we'll have plenty more on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. So like, comment, and subscribe. For Dan and Mike, I'm Jenna. We're all going to do a coffee, and we will see you later. Thanks for joining us on the Buffalo Plus podcast.